Hey, take your Bible tonight. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to bring a message. I think we need this kind of message every now and then just to be reminded about a few things. I want to preach to you on the subject of why fight. Why fight? All right? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul said, so fight I. There was a time, and sometimes it's still this way, when you'd hear the word fundamentalist, it was preceded by the word fighting. There was a day we were noted for fighting. Sometimes we were fighting each other, which is not good, all right? And I'm not in favor of that, all right? I don't think that's what we ought to be doing, okay? But that word fighting traditionally has been a word that's used to define us. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not ashamed of the label fundamentalist, and neither am I bothered by that adjective fighting. Paul was a fighter. Paul was a fighter. He said, so fight I, all right? That's not the only. He's told Timothy, I have fought a good fight. Now, if we're going to fight, we need to fight the good fight, all right? We don't need to look for somebody. And I hope you understand, without me dwelling on it, I'm not talking about us balling up our fist and duking it out with somebody. Not talking about that at all right? But if Paul said he had fought a good fight, what better example could we follow than the Apostle Paul? It was good enough for him, it ought to be good enough for me, it ought to be good enough for you. We ought to be fighters, all right? And I just want to give you about five reasons tonight of why we should fight, okay? You say, well, you know, I don't think I'm a pacifist. Well, yeah, there's problems, okay? Number one, we ought to fight because there's some things worth fighting for. Yes, sir. Just plain and simple, there's some things that are worth fighting for. In the realm of this whole world and things we have to deal with, the wickedness of the day in which we live, I think this book is worth fighting for. Yes, sir. I think the book is worth fighting for. Now, some people say, man, here we go again. Okay, here we go again, all right? I believe that old King James Bible is worth fighting for. It has stood the test of time. It has weathered the storm. It's been attacked over and over, and we've been told over and over it's outdated, outmoded, and bad, you know, that old English. By the way, it's never been old English, but we've just heard all that stuff along the line. But the book's worth fighting for. We just happen to believe we've got a copy of the Word of God. We preach and we say, hey, we believe the Bible's inspired Word of God. We believe it's without error. And there's people that'll get up and say that. But if you ask them, well, where can I get a hold of it? And then they start backpedaling. Well, we don't do that. I believe that King James Bible, that's it. I believe that's the book. I believe it's worth fighting over. I believe it's worth standing for. There's reasons. Not going to preach the whole message tonight on that, okay? But I could, all right? I really believe this book, all right? And, man, I just stand for it. I was listening to a preacher one time preaching, and they were making fun. He was mocking people, I guess you would say, that were making fun of the King James Bible. People said, well, it's good enough for Paul and Silas, is good enough for me. And they laugh about that. Well, I got news for you. You don't know that this ain't what Paul and Silas had.
That's exactly right. Amen.
You said, well, it wasn't in English. I didn't say it was in English.
That's right. Amen.
But I believe this is what God has for us, okay? I just believe that book. And I think we ought to stand for it. We ought to fight for it. We ought to fight for the book. We ought to fight for the blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may not know it, but man, that's still being attacked in the world today. There's people still, they'll get up and say, it was the death of Jesus Christ that paid for our sin. That's not true. That is not true. It was His blood. It was His blood. We're redeemed, the Bible tells us, by the precious blood of Christ as of a spotless lamb. Hey, that's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody come along and give you that line, well, it was His death. No, the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. There's no remission. And if you've been in a good church for years and years and you don't read the stuff put out by the infidels, then you don't know the attack that's made on the book, all right? But, you know, sometimes I read some stuff and it kind of makes my blood boil just a little bit, all right? I believe that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, hey, that is worth fighting for, okay? Without the shedding of that blood, you and I would not have a hope for heaven. There would not be a chance in the world that you and I could get to heaven because we can't get there any other way. The price for our sin had to be paid. Last night, Brother Blanton and I were out. We were trying to find some folks that had visited our church, and we went to that apartment. Nobody was there, and it's one of those, you know, gated deals, and you had to have the code to get in. So I said, man, we got the code. Let's see who we can find that is home, you know? And so we began just knocking on doors in there. And usually I'd come up and I'd see that ring doorbell. I said, they're not going to answer the door, all right? And sure enough, they didn't. I blame it on him. I said, if you hadn't have been with me, they'd opened the door. But he said it was me, all right? But we did have a couple of people open the door, and we were able to open the Bible and show them in the Word of God how that they were a sinner and how there's a price on sin and how the Lord Jesus Christ paid that price. Hey, He paid that price with the shedding of His blood. His blood. Let's be willing to fight for that, all right? It's worth fighting for. And just going down the line, the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. Glory to God, He's coming back. He is coming back. And said, man, that's a pipe dream. Yep, and I'm still dreaming, so don't wake me up, okay? I'm dreaming that because I believe the Lord is coming back. I believe He will return. And you said, well, if He doesn't come back in your lifetime, I'm going to be aggravated. But I won't be. I'll be all right, okay? But, man, I do. I'm looking for Him to come. What a wonderful hope that is for you and I as a child of God. To know the Lord's coming. To know He's coming back. I'll be honest with you. You look around and we've already decided, Lord, You said it's going to get bad. Isn't this bad enough? But our problem is we don't know what bad is. We don't have a real grasp of that, all right? The Bible said, as it was in the days of Noah. Well, the Bible said there the hearts of men are only evil continually. That was it. Hey, and you say, well, it's leaning that direction now. Pretty strongly. Say, we're looking forward to that. We're believing that. Somebody come along and tell you the Lord's not going to come, or like the Jehovah's false witness that tell you He came in 1914. I say, man, you guys are in desperate shape, all right? Hey, we're looking for Him to come. We're here to come. Hey, I believe that's worth fighting for. Tell you something else, and I'm not going to list everything, but I believe your family is worth fighting for. I believe your family is worth fighting for. Man, the hardest thing in this world to do is raise godly kids. And I believe that with all this within me. I think it's the hardest thing in the world to do is raise godly kids. And you've got to stay at it. You're opposed from everywhere. Everywhere. There is such a pull today for us to give in and to go along, to get along. But man, your family's worth fighting for. Family's worth fighting for. I'll never forget hearing Gary Way, good friend of mine, say, he said, the whole world can go to hell, but my family's not going. Now, I'm going to do everything I can to keep my family from going to hell, all right? And boy, I hope you look at it that way. You say, "Preacher, my kids are saved." Mine are too, but I got grandkids and I'm worried about them. I want to see them get saved. I want to see your grandchildren get saved. I want to see your great-grandchildren get saved. I want to do everything we can to keep people out of hell. I believe our family's worth fighting for. I believe it's there. Hey, you know, it says over there in the book of Jude, it talks about the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That's worth fighting for. That is worth fighting for. We're to stand on that. Don't get discouraged in the battle, all right? Don't get discouraged in the battle. Don't say, "Well, I'm trying my best. I'm going to give up." Don't do that. Amen. Don't do that. Don't quit. You know, I'm reminded of that old story of that little boy, Dutch boy, I think, you know, that came along the dike and there was a hole in it and he put his finger in. Well, I sometimes feel like I got all 10 of mine sticking in a hole. And there's another one I'm reaching for with my big toe, you know. But I think it's worth fighting for. I think it's worth fighting for. Hey, why fight? Some things are just worth fighting for. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, would you? 2 Timothy chapter 4. Kind of mentioned this a little bit earlier, but we'll come back with it again. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Why fight? Well, because it follows just a real good example. A real good example. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. Paul once again said, "I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith." Paul, man, he gave us a good example. If there's anybody who was a fighter, Paul was a fighter. Man, once he got saved, hey, he was fighting before he got saved. He was just on the wrong side, okay? But when he got saved, he began to fight. And boy, there's not a greater fighter for the truth than Paul. Paul really stood for that truth, and he preached that truth. And it caused him to be beaten. It caused him to be stoned. And it led to all kinds of troubles. But he never quit fighting for that truth. Hey, in his day, he had to fight some fellow believers. Not this way, but there was, he and Peter got crossways, and there was problems. Why? Because some of those other apostles never understood that, or didn't to that point, didn't understand that the Gentiles going to get in on this thing. The Gentile get in on salvation. Paul was willing to stand before them and to withstand them, as he said, to their face. He's willing to take a stand. He's willing to fight for what he knew was the truth, all right? For what he knew was the truth. And he stood for that. Well, what an example for us to follow. We're to fight for the truth. In this old world, it's hard to know the truth because we're bombarded with so many lies. You cannot trust the news media. You just can't, all right? When they say something, you got no idea if they're telling the truth or not. You can't trust a politician. You know, they used to have that old joke, how do you tell a lawyer is lying? They said, well, his lips are moving. Well, that same thing is true, I think, oftentimes of politicians. They speak out of both sides of their mouth. The one great truth we know, we've got this. This is the truth, and we ought to be willing to fight for this truth and to stand for it and to stand against all that's false. We've got a member of the church. He told me, he said, "Preacher, I've never been registered to vote. I've never registered." And I said, "Well, you need to get registered." And he said, "Well, I know you've said, and I've told you this, I don't mind telling you how to vote." What? Yeah, you ought to vote everything you can find is close to the Word of God. That's who you ought to vote for. You ought to vote for them. Now you say, but you can't believe them. No, but you can vote against them if they lie to you, all right, the next time. And I'm getting, my mailbox was filled the last few weeks with, you know, people saying, "I'm the greatest, vote for me." And a piece of paper, how do you know? How do you know? Well, I've lived here all my life. Good, I have too. I've lived here in Texas all my life except the part I wasn't here, all right? So, but I mean, you know, we stand and say, every one of us could stand and say, you can count on me, I'm the best, you know? And but you need to find them as much as possible, people that line up what they stand for, what they believe. You need to line them up with the Word of God, and as close as you can get, that's who you ought to vote for. I don't care what party they're in. It doesn't matter to me. We need to vote for people that are going to stand where God stands, all right? And I'll never forget, I was at Sam's, oh, it's several years ago, and there was a guy who had a petition. He said, he signed my petition, said, I want Sam's to be able to sell intoxicating beverage. I said, where's the petition against it? Yeah. Man, he was gone from me in a heartbeat. Yeah. You know, he's somewhere else. Hey, we're to fight for truth. Paul not only fought for the truth, but he fought to keep himself straight. You remember where we read over there in 1 Corinthians? He said, So fight I. Now, if you're a stickler, you could have said, preacher, you got away from the context there. So fight I. And he says, I keep under my body. He's fighting. I understand that. Hey, he's fighting to keep himself straight. Fighting to keep himself straight. And I don't know about you, but I fight that fight. If you don't, I want to talk to you. I want to figure out how you've got it figured out, where you don't have to fight anymore to keep yourself straight. I still live in a body of flesh, and my flesh still likes to sin. I still have to deal with the temper. Brother Charles is talking about tonight for church. He's happy that he can drive, but he's at home every night instead of being out. I confess to you, there's some times, there was an instance yesterday on the freeway. I wish I'd have been driving an 18-wheeler. And I would have liked to just remodel this car that was there, all right? So it's a good thing I'm not. You say, was that the Spirit leading? Yeah, it was a Spirit, but not the Spirit, okay? Say, I still have to deal with myself to keep myself straight. That's a fight. That's a fight. Hey, Paul gives us a tremendous example. He said, I do that. I struggle. Why? Why do we fight? There's some things worth fighting for. Why? Hey, we've got a good biblical example. But you're there in 2 Timothy, I think. Go to 1 Timothy. I've got to go back there. 1 Timothy chapter 6, would you? 1 Timothy chapter 6, looks down in verse 12. So why do we fight? Because we're commanded to. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, that is an imperative sentence. It's a command. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Hey, fight the good fight. That's the command of God. That's the command of God. All those things that I was listing up there, the book, the blood, and the blessed hope, that's part of the faith, all right? That's the good fight of faith. The good fight of faith is that fight that keeps us in the battle, that keeps us as a witness for the Lord, that keeps us living for Him, that keeps us serving Him, that helps us show up Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, helps us to be involved in the work of God, helps us to pass out tracts, helps us to give to missions. So what's all of that? It's the good fight of faith. That's what it is. We're to fight that fight, all right? We're to stay after it. We're commanded to do that. Man, just get a hold of it and go with it, all right? Notice the Bible says, whereunto thou art also called. God's called us to be in the fighting business. God didn't call us, and God did not save us to settle down and to be comfortable in the world. God's called us out of the world. God's called us to stand. And having done all, to stand. Hey, that takes a fight. We're to fight that good fight of faith. We're to not allow them to take away that old time, what a lot of people call the old time religion. The old time religion. Let's not let somebody take that away from us. I'm continually seeing stuff on the internet about X number of reasons why people don't want to go to church anymore. And all that. I've read some of them. I don't try to read all of them. But usually the ones that I read them, and it's not very long until the reason they don't want to go to church anymore is because they don't want somebody standing in front of them with an authoritative book telling you that God says this is the way you're to live. There's still some thou shalt nots in the Bible. And your desire, my desire, somebody else's desire doesn't change it. There's some thou shalt nots. Hey, on the same token, there's some thou shalts. Thou shalt. We're just do it, all right? We're to do it. And some of them, you know, talk about they don't like preaching. Well, God does. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Hey, I can't help what's going on in the world. The world may get messed up, but we're commanded to fight the good fight of faith. Don't back off from it, all right? Now, don't be obnoxious. Don't be obnoxious. I'm witnessing somebody. If somebody tells me I'm done, I quit. I don't stand there and say, wait a minute, you don't understand. Now, humanly, and from a Christian standpoint, I want to. But I'll be honest with you, I want to leave that door if somebody else comes. I don't want them to remember me and say, I'm not putting up with anybody if you're going to be like that guy was. I'm going to do my best to stand for the Lord, but I don't want to be obnoxious about it. Don't want to be, you know, just over the top. And I want people to know there's a kindness, there's a way to do it, but we ought to be firm in our stand. Fight the good fight of faith. Why? We're commanded to. Fourth reason, it pleases God. You say, preacher, where does it say that in the Bible? It pleases God to fight. Well, wait a minute. Are you there still at 1 Timothy 6, verse 12? Does it not say in your Bible, fight the good fight of faith? Right? Whose word is that? That's God's word, right? That's God's word. Does obedience please Him? Then it pleases God if we fight, because He's told us to fight. So it pleases God. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe every one of us ought to be concerned with what pleases God. We ought to be concerned with what pleases Him. I don't have to please me. I don't have to do that. I know you may think, and you preachers, y'all are always up and ready to go. No, there's times when it's time to go out and to witness that I really and truly don't want to do it. And I have to force myself. But after I get there and knock on that first door, things get rolling, all right? And you begin to think, it's where I need to be. But you have to make yourself do it, all right? Make yourself do it. There's nothing there that all of a sudden just comes along and you reach that certain state in life that you always want to do. No. But obedience pleases God. I do want to please Him. I want to please Him. When I was a kid growing up, I wanted to please my parents. Be honest with you, I'm standing here tonight. I still want to please my daddy. I still want him to say, and be able to say, that's my boy. I'm proud of him. I want that. But that's not why I'm here. I'm here because I want to please God. Want to please God. Want to please that heavenly Father. I want to one of these days hear him say, well done. Well done. Doesn't take all the bright lights. Don't have to have a name where you're known everywhere. I had a guy one time, managed several years ago, asked me, said, do you preach out much? I said, nobody wants me to preach much. I said, if they invite, I'll go if I can, you know. But that's fine. I'm wanting to hear the Lord say to me, well done. Well done. If I can hear that, I'll be happy. Just to hear him say, well done. Don't have to please everybody else, but I sure want to please him. Hey, why fight? Some things are worth fighting for. It follows a good biblical example. We're commanded to do it. It pleases God. And the last thing I want you to stay with me is the price of not fighting is too high. The price of not fighting is too high. It costs too much. It leads to, in this world, I would say, a positivism. Where, I mean, you know, there's nothing negative. We can never be negative. Everything's wonderful. And never should be heard a discouraging word. And we've got folks like that in churches today that think everything needs to be positive. Needs to be positive. Who was it? Norman Vincent Peale was the guy that came along, first one I remember, talking about positive thinking. And then Schuller out in California, it was him, it was possibility thinking. Well, we ought to be positive, and we ought to understand the possibility. If we do what God says, it'll all work out. But man, when we start backing off, we get in trouble. We begin to, it leads to compromise. If you don't fight, if you don't stand and fight, then you wind up compromising. I hear them talking how our country's divided and how in Washington the whole deal is there's great division and they say we need to seek common ground. But the truth of the matter is the positions are so wide apart that it's hard to find any place to meet in the middle. And I tell you what, if you're a Bible believer, anything less than sticking with the book, not only is it compromise, it's sin. It's sin. And we got to be careful. I think of the example of Hezekiah. Hezekiah said, man, it's good there's truth in my day. I got news for you. I don't know how long this world's going to go on. And I don't think I'm going to be here as long as I have been already. Matter of fact, I'm relatively positive that's not going to happen. But I am concerned about what's going to be left for my grandchildren. I am concerned about what's going to be left for them. And that concerns me. Not like Hezekiah that said, well, it's all right as long as it's okay in my day. No, it needs to be. Hey, I'll tell you something else. If I don't fight, I'll get whipped. I'll get whipped. Let me go back. Go back to where we started tonight, would you? Back to where we started, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If you don't fight, you'll get whipped. You will get whipped. Paul said there under the inspiration of God that I therefore so fight, run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Hey, look, if you don't keep fighting, you will get whipped. Paul said it this way. He said, I find myself as a castaway. You said, I'm on the shelf. I'm gone. I'm done. Why? I got whipped. If you don't keep fighting, you'll get whipped. I'll give you this personal deal. Man, I was lied to in history class. I was lied to in history class in high school and in college. Both of those places, I was taught that the Battle of the Bulge ended in 1945. I've been fighting the Battle of the Bulge all my adult life. Amen. Preacher. What are you talking about, preacher? You know what I'm talking about. He said, man, Mrs. McFarlane, who used to be, she was a member of our church for years, very unusual lady. She had a way of putting things. She would say, she said, "You're getting a little fleshy, aren't you?" And I thought, well, that's a gentle way to say it. And you're just getting a little fleshy there. Hey, I got news for you. If I didn't fight it, I'd weigh 400 pounds. Because I like food and food likes me. If there was no fight, well, can I say this to you? If you think that's true in the physical realm, and by the way, you skinny people, I'm going to have to go on. I can't stop, all right? In the physical realm, that's true physically. But I want you to know in the spiritual realm, it's even more true. If you do not fight, I guarantee you the devil will whip you. So what have I got to do to lose? Nothing. Just do nothing and you'll lose. He will whip you. He'll overcome you. That is why you and I, we got to fight. We must fight. We've got to keep that struggle. We don't keep that struggle as long as you live. You say, well, I get weary. Who doesn't? Amen. But the fight's worth it. It's worth it. Hey, I don't know about y'all. I hate losing. I hate losing. I was listening to a preacher preach one time. He said, man, I hate losing so bad. He said, if it looks like I'm going to lose in checkers, I'll flip the board over some way. He said, I'm not going to lose. Now, I'm not that extreme, all right? But I don't like to lose. But I dead sure don't want to lose in this spiritual battle. Man, there's too much at stake. Too much at stake. Your testimony, your family, your future, eternity, crowns. Hey, it's worth a fight. Don't quit fighting. Don't quit fighting. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight. Lord, help us to see the truth of the Word of God. Lord, it is easy to get weary in the battle. And Lord, oftentimes it's great temptation to compromise and to pull back just a little bit.